Omaha Public Radio presents a special program on Noon Forum. In honor of Memorial Day, we'll hear the 4th Annual At Ease Fundraising and Awareness Luncheon featuring keynote speaker, retired Navy Admiral James Ellis, retired President and Chief Executive Officer of the Institute of Nuclear Power Operations in Atlanta, Georgia, and retired Commander of the United States Strategic Command. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday afternoon, January 28, 2013, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of Lutheran Family Services, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. In 2009, we lost more soldiers to suicide than to the Iraq and Afghanistan wars combined. On average, 18 veterans take their own lives every day because of depression and post-traumatic stress. For every serviceman or woman affected, many more family members and loved ones will also be impacted, directly and indirectly. Fortunately for Nebraska's military families and their communities, At Ease offers 100% confidential, expert treatment and counseling services for our veterans, active military, and their families to fight this disturbing trend. In conjunction with Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska, At Ease USA is making a difference in the lives of our military families from Omaha to North Platte. Since its inception, nearly 140 people have been admitted to the At Ease program. Of those 140 clients, 65 have been discharged. We had hoped to see an 80% reduction in symptoms for program participants. In fact, 83% of clients indicated a reduction in symptoms, and 96% of those participants remained free of legal issues, becoming productive citizens in our community. Here now to introduce the program is Adrian Whitsett, military combat veteran, and afternoon news anchorman with KETV Channel 7.
I never come here quite knowing exactly what I'm going to say in this little remarks section about my life and my time in the military. It dawns on me, and I've been thinking about it a lot lately, though, that at this time 10 years ago, I had just gotten off leave. I was back here in Omaha, and I got a call at the beginning of January. This was 2003. And I got a call from a buddy who told me that our 31st MU was being recalled. He told me that our FAPS were being recalled. Everyone who was teaching in schools out at Camp Lejeune was being recalled back to 2nd Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion. And we didn't really know exactly what was happening, because I was a corporal at the time. And as many of you know, the corporals and the sergeants aren't really the ones to know exactly what's going on. Those orders come from top down. So 2 weeks from now, or I guess a week and a half from now, 10 years ago, February 7th and 8th, I boarded a plane in Cherry Point, North Carolina, and I flew into Kuwait. And we got there, and we hung out in Kuwait, if you could call it that, for about a month. Not doing much, just building posts and training and keeping weapons service, those sorts of things. And then about 2 weeks after that, we were woken up in the middle of the night and we were told that we were going. And about 14 hours later, we were crossing into Iraq. A story that many others or many of you may have experienced or at least heard of. But I know what I feel like makes my story different is that after I went to Iraq, we were there in country for about 3.5 months, and by May 26th of that year, I was back, and I was already back here in the States. Part of that was because my end of service date was already passed, and I was stop loss, and they were trying to get the rest of our group out as fast as possible and leave the Army and the Air Force and everyone else who was there back in Iraq while we came home. So I felt very fortunate at the time that I was able to make it through. Our entire battalion made it out almost unscathed. We had two mishaps, but none of them were from enemy fire, which was incredible considering what we were doing and the battles that we were fighting at that time. So when I look back now and I see, you know, my friends who have spent 2.5, 3.5 years over in Iraq or Afghanistan, people who have been on 4, 5, 6, 7 deployments between Iraq and Afghanistan, and come back and dealt with a much different war than I fought. The war that I fought was one where we went in and we were there to conquer, and it wasn't about insurgency and it wasn't about IEDs. Those were things that I didn't hear about until after I had already gotten out of the military. So I know that I'm one of the fortunate ones who was able to look at what I did and look at what we did as a unit and fortunately not go through the really, really heavy traumatic stuff. And that's the stuff that we're talking about today. It's the stuff that At Ease has been talking about for years, and it's why the Department of Veterans Affairs as well as the Pentagon is looking at this issue so closely, because it doesn't take very long to end up in a situation where it does do trauma, and you do have trauma to the brain that ends up changing you and changing the way that you react to things, changing the way that you live and interact with your friends and your family when you come back. So once again, I'm honored to be here. I love this. I love being able to share some of my story and hear other stories and be able to talk to everyone about what I feel is maybe the most important issue that we deal with our veterans as they return home. So thank you very much again for being here and listening to me. Starting with this, in 2007, a group of Omahans saw a need to assist Nebraska veterans, active military, and their families suffering from post-traumatic stress and related disorders. They formed an organization called At Ease with five basic goals: to treat every member of the military family, not just the combatant. PTSD often affects multiple family members, and research shows individuals recover better and faster when the whole family is in recovery. To remove the obstacles of stigma and cost, which prevent those in need from receiving treatment. To ensure 100% confidentiality for all clients. To use only treatments and therapies proven most effective by research. And finally, to provide the best possible value for every dollar donated. To that end, At Ease USA has no overhead. At Ease USA partnered with the behavioral health experts at Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska, or LFS as we know it, the largest behavioral health organization in the state, with 31 office locations from North Platte to Council Bluffs. The first At Ease facility opened in July 2009 in LFS's Bellevue, Nebraska office off of Fort Crook Road. Much has been accomplished since then, so I would like to bring up Tim Burke, the incoming president of the At Ease USA Board of Directors, to provide an update on the At Ease program.
Great, thanks, Adrian. Great, thank you very much. Good afternoon, and thank you very much for coming. Adrian, thank you very much as well. I kind of feel like I should stay a little bit farther away from the microphone after he went back to get his Kleenex, so... Well, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for your ongoing support of the Nebraska military families who are recovering from PTSD and related issues. I particularly want to recognize and thank our sponsors for today's event, including OPPD, Valmont Industries, Level 3 Communications, Howard and Rhonda Hawks, Lozier Corporation, Wright Printing, and our presenting sponsor today, MidAmerican Energy. Could we give them a quick hand? Since 2009, when we opened the first At Ease clinic, our Lutheran Family Service partners in the Bellevue facility, we have opened a second clinic in Grand Island. This location will serve not only as a traditional clinic offering the innovative Vets for Vets program support for both individuals and for the group, but it will also serve as the hub of our new teletherapy initiative. Using state-of-the-art televideo technology, At Ease specialists can treat clients in remote Nebraska communities as well as those who are not capable of leaving their homes and are often the most severely affected by PTSD. In 2012, At Ease USA launched a clinical trial of promising new web-based PTSD treatment in collaboration with Tel Aviv University, Creighton University, Nebraska Medical Center, and the University of Nebraska Medical Center. This is the first clinical trial of its kind in the world. and if successful, could offer a cost-effective, self-administered alternative to existing treatments. And finally, I'm pleased to announce that with the assistance of the Robert B. Daugherty Foundation, the Nebraska Soldiers Foundation, and many of you that are here today, AdEase will offer border-to-border treatment by offering its third Nebraska clinic in Lutheran Family Services North Platte office in the coming months. And additionally, AdEase USA will be working again with Lutheran Family Services to explore the expansion of services to Lincoln, Nebraska, based on that community and the National Guard's needs. We are very proud of our progress over the last 3 years, and we look forward to the future and all the things that we can do to serve the Nebraska families. It's my great pleasure today to also introduce to you the honorary chairs of today's luncheon. The honorary chairs today are Gary and Kathy Gates. Gary began his career at OPPD in 1972. Now, Scott Anderson said I should make a comment about what I was doing in 1972, but Gary's my boss, and I can't do that. So, Gary has held several positions in the nuclear organization at Fort Calhoun Station, and in 2004 became OPPD's president and CEO. Kathy and Gary have been leaders in the Omaha philanthropic community for years. They have supported organizations such as the Durham Museum, Exarban Foundation, Strategic Air Command Consultation Committee, Nebraska Military Support Coalition, and Wings Over the Heartland. We are proud to have Kathy and Gary serve as the honorary chairs for this year's luncheon, and I invite both Kathy and Gary to come to the podium. Gary and Kathy, we have a special gift for your support and hard work in being the honorary chairs for this year's luncheon. And so I'm going to give this to Kathy because it is gray and maroon bowed. So very good. Congratulations.
Thanks, Tim. Many of our companies have folks deployed today. Part of the whole recognition today is to keep that in mind, so I ask all of you to do that. And many of them have been deployed more than once. Today I get the very special privilege to present an award that really captures the very essence of what is in the heart and soul of AdEase: organization, compassion, dedication, and invaluable commitment to help others in our communities. This award is called the Founders Award. It was created to recognize the generosity and assistance provided to this organization and to the broader community. This year we are pleased to present the award to a man who truly needs no introduction, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. Walter Scott Jr. is a director and chairman emeritus of Peter Kiewit. We all know he led the company for many, many years. Most of you probably know that his background was civil engineering. While his professional experience is impressive, it is truly his involvement in the community affairs that lead us today to present this award to him. He serves on the Heritage Services Board, the Omaha Zoological Society. He's the director of the Nebraska Game and Parks Foundation. He serves on the Omaha Development Foundation. He's the director of Horatio Alger Association. He has been named Citizen of the Year, Person of the Year, Headliner of the Year, Man of the Year, Midlander of the Year, and Distinguished Nebraska Business Volunteer of the Year. I have abbreviated the list of his accomplishments. Now, one thing you want to know about Walter: many of us had a chance to be mentored by Walter over many, many years. And for those of you that will get a chance to do that, I highly recommend it, but I'll give you a quick lesson. If you meet with Walter, you're going to get about 15 minutes, and everything has to be on one page of paper. And the key to watch for after that 15 minutes, if Walter, and he tends to do this hand, if he says, "That's nuts," fold up your paper, go home. If Walter says, "That's neat and good," you're in good shape. Walter, you are neat and good. Please join us on stage. On behalf of the At Ease USA Board of Directors and Advisors, I'm honored to present you with the 2013 Founders Award. Congratulations. Thank you, sir.
The tag on that says Walter Scott, but I think it probably goes to Grandma. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'd say that part of the reason that I have a special affinity for the At Ease program is I, too, am a veteran. The difference is that my service in the Air Force did not put me in harm's way. As a second lieutenant, my job at the former Orlando Air Force Base was to use my civil engineering background to maintain the base's infrastructure. And the closest I came to a tense situation was worrying whether the base commander's car would fall into a chuck hole. Because my own experience was relatively uneventful, I have the greatest respect for those who have literally served in the line of fire. For those who find it a challenge to decompress from their experiences, I think it's important that we have programs like At Ease. Yet this is another case where Omaha is a leader, being first to establish this type of privately funded program. It demonstrates that this is a caring community and one that places a high value on its relationship with the military and the men and the women who serve at Offutt Air Force Base with the Guard and the Reserve. Again, thank you very much.
Now I get another special privilege to introduce today's keynote speaker. Admiral James O. Ellis, Jr. recently retired as President and Chief Executive Officer of the Institute of Nuclear Power Operations, located in Atlanta, Georgia. He led IMPO for seven dynamic and challenging years. It's a unique organization sponsored by all the commercial nuclear power plants in the industry. It's an independent, nonprofit organization whose mission is to promote the highest levels of safety and reliability to promote excellence in our industry. In my capacity at OPPD, I had the distinct pleasure of working closely with Admiral Ellis for many years. Like Mr. Scott, his professional career is outstanding. Prior to IMPO, Admiral Ellis completed a distinguished 39-year Navy career as commander, and most recently as commander of the United States Strategic Air Command. During a time of challenge and change, in this role, he was responsible for global command and control of the United States Strategic and Space Forces, reporting directly to the Secretary of Defense. Admiral also served as a Navy fighter pilot. He was commander of the USS Abraham Lincoln, a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. He served as Commander-in-Chief, U.S. Naval Forces Europe, and Commander-in-Chief, Allied Forces Southern Europe, during a time of historic NATO expansion, and led the United States and NATO forces in combat and humanitarian operation during the 1999 Kosovo crisis. Admiral Ellis holds a master's degree in aerospace engineering, a master's degree in aeronautical systems from the University of West Florida, and he's a graduate of the Navy Test Pilot School, the Navy Fighter Weapons School. Some of you may know it as Top Gun. And the Senior Officer Program in National Security Strategy at Harvard University. He holds three Defense Distinguished Service Medals, two Navy Distinguished Service Medals, four Legion of Merit Awards, a Defense Meritorious Service Medal, two Meritorious Service Medals, and the Navy Commendation Medal, among others. I've had a great opportunity to travel extensively with Admiral Ellis, and I want to give you an insight on his directness and his insight on many things, and you are in for a real treat when he gives his keynote address. We were in Murmansk, Russia. Russia has a fleet of nuclear-powered icebreakers. They were joining an organization which both Admiral Ellis and I were on the Board of Governors for. Now, we'd been there a few days, and they had tolerated our presence. And we're leaving, and the captain of one of the icebreakers, you could tell, just couldn't wait to get us out of there. He started to make his comments, and Jim said, "Let me stop you right there. You're about ready to tell us three lies." We all looked and said, where's Jim going with this one? He said, "You're going to tell us you're glad we're here, it was no trouble, and you hope we come back. Don't do that. We were glad to be here, and we're delighted with what we had." Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Admiral James Ellis.
Thanks, Jared. With apologies to Adrian, I brought my own microphone. Chairman Gates, Gary, thank you for that far too generous introduction. For me, it's a true honor to have some small role in this wonderful event in support of the critical needs of those who have given so much to us personally, to our communities and states, and to our nation. The fact that it also brings some well-deserved recognition to a longtime friend who, as always, does not seek it, but so richly deserves it, makes this even more special. And I add my congratulations, Walter, to those of so many others. I cannot adequately express how good it is to be back in Omaha with all of you. The nearly 9 years have passed far too quickly since Polly and I departed this community on a path that, as often happens in life, took us in directions far different from those we might have imagined. As Gary noted, I moved away a great distance, even by Nebraska standards, traveled far and wide, and experienced all the joys and the occasional sadness that are a part of devoting yourself to causes and to people that you love. But I never forgot Omaha. I never forgot all of you and the friendship and support you gave us both when we were here and in the years afterwards. Yours is a remarkable community, caring, generous, and loyal. And as I said to many of you as Polly and I left you, of all the 26 places that we lived in a peripatetic 39-year military career, it is Omaha that felt most like home. I am not a Midwesterner by birth. I am, in fact, a son of the South, though the accent has long since left me. Far be it from me to disparage one of the iconic Southern writers, but with apologies to Thomas Wolfe, for me at least, he got it wrong. You can go home again, and I am so very, very glad that I have. I appreciate the introduction and the reunions accompanied by many kind words that I've enjoyed over these past few days. I especially value the opportunity to reconnect with many of you. But the real VIPs today, as we all know, are the active duty military and the veterans, some with us, many not, who answered the call and wore the cloth of the nation, and whose only common thread was that they called this great community their home. It is well that we remember them. I am truly honored by this opportunity, and it is with the greatest humility that I count myself among them and call them brothers and sisters at arms. As I penned a few thoughts for today's occasion, my eyes strayed, as they often do, to the walls of my study. As with many of you, there on the walls hang the old plaques, the memorabilia, and faded photos that tangibly recall, in my case, my lifelong fascination with naval aviation. While many of the mementos are of things, squadrons now gone, ships decommissioned, and aircraft now obsolete, I find the few photos I treasure most are those with people in them. I find myself staring at once familiar faces, crouched behind a row of flight helmets, squinting into a Southeast Asian sun in front of a freshly painted jet fighter. It is a moment frozen in time, of fresh faces, palpable excitement, and unspoken bonds. Whether your own memories are of aviation squadrons, ship crews, or ground, armor, cavalry, and supporting units, I suspect your thoughts are the same as my own. I smile at our long past youth. I sadly note those who are no longer with us. And I marvel, yes, marvel, at how far those of us left have traveled in what seems so few years. And I wonder if those who are not ever a part of it can ever really understand. Many of your experiences and stories are more powerful than mine, but there is a common thread we all share. Whether you served for 3 years or 30, whether in time of wars, hot or cold, or at a time when the difference between the two was largely just a matter of semantics, whether your service was marked by months of tedium or minutes of sheer terror, whether you were a part of something monumental or served quietly far from the public spotlight, what we all have in common is the deepest admiration for those with whom we served. The bonds of loyalty, friendship, and yes, love, forged in those times we shared, are stronger than steel and can and do last a lifetime. It is said one serves one's country, but the service is to those who stand with you, beside you through it all. For those who have not experienced it, it can seem unfathomable. But it is real, it is priceless, and it is forever ours. Philosopher J. Glenn Gray, in his classic work, The Warriors, got it exactly right. Organization for Common and Concrete Goals in peacetime organizations does not evoke anything like the degree of comradeship commonly known in war. At its height, this sense of comradeship is an ecstasy. Men are true comrades only when each is ready to give up his life for another without reflection and without thought of personal loss. It has always been so. It can be seen in the words William Shakespeare gives Henry V, rallying his troops before the Battle of Agincourt, when he speaks of, "We few, we happy few, we band of brothers." Stephen Ambrose borrowed that term in his classic work, Band of Brothers, which chronicles the storied exploits of Easy Company from their initial training in Toccoa, Georgia, not 100 miles from where I now live, to their Normandy parachute jump and their march through Europe to the fall of Germany. One of the aging Easy Company veterans, in only a bit of an overreach, says, "There is not a day that has passed since that I do not thank Adolf Hitler for allowing me to be associated with the most talented and inspiring group of men I have ever known." I hope you can appreciate my own emotions as I remember walking around the square of my small town, Marietta, Georgia, in the lengthening shadows on a long ago summer evening before I left for the Navy at the age of 17. And how lucky I felt to return 39 years later, certainly older, hopefully wiser, and forever grateful for the experiences and the people that had shaped me forever. Dr. Martin Luther King once said, "Service is the rent we pay for for the space we occupy. It is no coincidence that in the South and here in the Midwest, we often speak of going into the service rather than joining a branch of the military. For those of us who have served or are still serving, we might ask ourselves why we do it. The reasons, I suspect, are as many as those who gather here today. It is patriotism. It may be courage. It is duty, honor, country. But it is also something more. It is the realization now, as it has always been, that you are a part of something larger than yourself. A brother and sisterhood, a society, a family whose needs transcend your own. But in recent years, I would suggest that historic concepts of service have changed in ways large and small as the length, intensity, and consequences of recent wars have challenged veterans and their families in unprecedented ways. On September 12, 2001, President George Bush visited the Pentagon to inspect the damage and thank the rescue workers. The end of his visit was described by my former boss, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. Perhaps noticing my distraction, the president put his arm on my shoulder. "You're carrying a heavy load," Bush said, "and I appreciate it." I was grateful for his thoughtfulness, but I knew his load was even heavier and that the members of our armed services and their families would in the end bear the heaviest burden of all. In contrast with the days of the draft, today's volunteer force of soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines have families of their own. Over half of the active and reserve force are married, and nearly 80% of those have children. When you also consider the parents of those who serve, it is clear that war has become a family affair. As Undersecretary of Defense Bill Lynn noted, as we all know, the longest sustained wartime mobilization in our country's history has put enormous strains on our forces and our families. Nearly 250,000 children have a parent at war. And the repeated deployment of the Guard and Reserve personnel has strained families, employers, and communities. No corner of America has been untouched. The signs of that service may not be evident or may be seen in the growing numbers of service flags in windows around our country. Originating in World War I, these simple rectangles of red-bordered white satin contain stars, blue for each family member serving, gold for those that have paid the ultimate price, and in a new recognition, silver for those wounded in action. And it is among the wounded that we see the most dramatic change in the character and challenges of combat. Dr. Atul Gawande, a Stanford-educated and Harvard-trained surgeon, has studied battlefield medical care. He points out that, though the firepower of combat has increased, as a result of modern trauma care, the mortality has actually decreased dramatically in the current conflict. In the Revolutionary War, he says, American soldiers faced bayonets and single-shot rifles, and 42% of the battle wounded died. In World War II, American soldiers were hit with grenades, bombs, shells, and machine guns, yet only 30% of the wounded died. Over the next half century, we saw little further progress. The casualty rate in both Vietnam and the first Gulf War was 24%. Now the Army has brought modern mobile hospitals to the combat zone, a sort of MASH on steroids, and soldiers are often treated in minutes using modern techniques and are often back in a stateside hospital in 36 hours, receiving the finest medical trauma care in the world. While the death of even a single soldier brings a sadness beyond all telling, The casualty rate in recent conflicts is now 10%. This progress is wonderful, but it brings an ironic challenge. This sequence of care is unprecedented, and so is the result. Soldiers are receiving the gift of life with injuries that were unsurvivable in previous wars. We have never faced having to rehabilitate people with such extensive wounds. We are only beginning to learn what to do to make a life worth living for them. This challenge, too, is a family affair, but more than that, it is a national responsibility, one that we all share. Not just today, but until we have done all we can, not out of pity, but out of gratitude and compassion. We must do more, and they deserve no less. One of my favorite quotes is from Winston Churchill. It is not enough to do our best. We have to do what is required. Today we gather to pay tribute to many, but to particularly honor those warriors among us, men and women, who have given so much of themselves, sometimes literally. It is well that we pause to remind ourselves to be able to put names and faces with the abstract headlines of events and places so far away. Rest assured, those who served there will carry the reminders with them always. And that, of course, is why At Ease was created, why its work in support of our friends and neighbors is so essential, and why we are all here. In some cases, the wounds of those who served, though invisible, are deep and slow to heal. Over a decade of conflict and long and repeated deployments have created a combat experienced force unprecedented in our nation's history. But it has also taken a toll on many. It has also challenged our military and Veterans Administration healthcare systems, both in terms of needed skills and capacity. Those both we must improve. Late last year, the President announced a number of new initiatives in military and veterans health care designed to improve the understanding, diagnosis, treatment, and even prevention of the stress disorders associated with military service. Partnerships are being formed between the Veterans Administration and community health providers. The number of mental health professionals and peer-to-peer counselors will grow significantly. Research funding will increase in order to better understand these very real needs and create more effective treatment methods. Finally, a national research action plan and an interagency task force are being created. It is a start, but it is long overdue. And it is not enough until it delivers needed results, and the expanded scope includes all those in need, including the active duty, the veterans and their families, and until the assistant comes without stigma and with all the understanding and compassion they deserve. This is where the organization that we honor here today plays such an important and complementary role. And why I, along with all of you, thank Scott and all of those in At Ease who every day provide the needed care, but do so with the all-important human touch. The name, as the chaplain noted, says it all. At Ease is not just a military command removing the requirement to stand at attention. It is, in this case, a goal of soothing those who have given so much, and physically, mentally, and emotionally lifting their burden and the often hidden tensions and pain, placing them literally at their ease to enjoy all the richness of life that they fought to preserve for each and every one of us. As a nation, we have a long history of respect for the veteran, for those that have worn the cloth of our nation. We have admired their sacrifice and service, and we have committed to their care when that service has ended. Many of you may have seen the recent movie Lincoln, certain to win its share of Oscars. I've been a lifelong student of the man since I was fortunate enough over two decades ago to command the great U.S. Navy ship that bears his name. Perhaps Abraham Lincoln said it best in his second inaugural address just a month before he died, with words that are still so true today with all their heartfelt passion. With malice towards none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to do all which may achieve and cherish a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. Unlike my own, some words are indeed timeless. Thank you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks.
Admiral Ellis, thank you for your powerful remarks and, more importantly, for your exceptional service to our country. I'm Josh Weiss. I'm a board member of Addies USA, and on behalf of the board members and the board of directors, we'd like to present you with this crystal eagle engraved with the Addies logo.
Thank you, Josh. I'm honored and humbled, and I love the wrapping. I know where it comes from. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Adrian for battling the flu or the bug that he is battling, for his service, and for serving as our Master of Ceremonies today. Also to everyone at KETV for their continued support. Thank you to all of you for attending and supporting Addies USA. A very special thank you to all of our 2013 sponsors, and especially to our presenting sponsor, MidAmerican Energy. Thank you. And to our military families, the members, the families, and everyone in attendance here today, thank you. Please take the centerpiece as a small token of our appreciation for your service to our country. Any remaining floral arrangements will be given to the Addies participants and deployed families stationed at Offutt Air Force Base. Next, we'd like to recognize all of the Lutheran Family Services staff who serve our clients in the clinics in Bellevue and Grand Island. Please stand and be recognized for the outstanding work that you are doing. A very special thank you to Kathy and Gary Gates for chairing the event. And finally, please give another round of applause for our Founders Award recipient, Walter Scott. Without him, there would be no Addies USA. This program is making a difference, and military families are recovering. Is there any better way to honor our brave men and women than to offer them our support? We hope to see you all again next year. God bless Nebraska's military families, and God bless America. Thank you.
You've been listening to a special program on Noon Forum. In honor of Memorial Day, we've heard the 4th Annual Addies Fundraising and Awareness Luncheon featuring keynote speaker, retired Navy Admiral James Ellis, retired President and Chief Executive Officer of the Institute of Nuclear Power Operations in Atlanta, Georgia, and retired Commander of the United States Strategic Command. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Monday afternoon, January 28, 2013, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Beth Kramer, Executive Director of AdEase, for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 300 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.